But I'm behind the scenes as a producer. You know, I had the artists, they were the front runners, and I'm on the turntable set. I'm the one in the studio, I'm the one coaching them. So then I was just like, well, you know what? Let's take this up another level. So then that's why I seen her. She does shows and whatnot. I have a record label, and I needed a connection. I needed, you know what? I need a place where we can showcase brand new music, brand new, like right off the board, without having censorship in the way, without, you know, having to go through, you got to pay $100 here to perform and $200 here. So then I contacted her. I said, well, you know what? If I can get my artists to come out and perform on your platform, I'll DJ all your shows. I'll be your music guy, you know.
And you're kind of cute, so I'll take you out to dinner.
Why not?
What else were you going to do? That came later.
That came much later.
So that's not part of the business, but yeah. I mean, once I saw that, you know, I have somebody that has a lot of resources, but you know, he's kind of handsome too. You know, he's a good protector. He's got a great personality. You know, okay, well, I can be with this guy. Yeah. I'm all right. Cool. You know, I don't feel bad hanging out with this dude. Yeah. Okay.
Introducing the Poet Life Podcast. Go check it out today on your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Apple Music, and the website, thepoetlife.com.
Hey, 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 it's Christoph Jenkins, founder and creator of The Poet Life, and obviously the host of the Poet Life Podcast. And I'm super excited today, y'all. I'm super excited because I have some colleagues of mine, a team member of mine and her family. And this is just a momentous occasion because we have Lady V and her husband, also CEO Alan Poe, and also we have DJ Voltaire. Everybody clap it up for the family. Yes, indeed. Okay, you all can tell that we're working with some production extraordinaire family members over on that end. So how y'all doing?
Yes, very excited.
Yeah, doing good. We've got DJ on the phone here. He's making some connections. You know, always working.
He's writing his poem.
I love that. I love that, man. Because I believe the same thing you all believe in regards to the children. Like, it's not what you want to be when you grow up. What do you want to create right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Even before they can walk, even before they can talk, all of it, like they're blank canvases and you can get the canvas started and then hand them the paintbrush.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
He already knows how to DJ. So, I mean, he could be the backup DJ when we need him to be.
Yes. That is. So y'all got turntables and everything?
We got everything here. We have everything that you need all under this one roof. Well, multiple roofs, but everything from keyboards to instruments to video stuff to what else we have? Apparel. No, everything is right here, you know, and I'm really excited because that.
I was gonna say, he's speaking of the Art Out Loud Creative Space, Alan Poe Studios. We're filming live from our studio right now.
Yes.
So it's wonderful to have all these resources for independent artists under one roof. You don't have to, you know, pay him to pay her to pay, you know, it's all under the same umbrella. So it's really convenient, and it's, you know, making sure that independent artists can thrive without going broke, pretty much.
And it was seeded that way.
Right.
You know, the fact that, you know, I mean, just to have, instead of having all the resources all over town and connected with people, we don't have the time for all of that. The thing is, have everything right here. Each room has its own entity. Did I say that right? And then, so when you come in, I don't know how to do anything and leave. Oh, wow, I'm a movie star. I'm the next biggest thing. So that's why we planned it that way.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yes. That is visionary thought and mindset right there. And I want to know where all of this came from, right? Like, let's, you know, I know you all are married, right? So how long have you all been married? And
oh boy,
did you all start this together, or Alan, you already, or Lady V, you already, where did this start?
Well, we met in 2017 and got married in 2018, but I moved to Atlanta in 2005. What?
I love this thing right here. To be sure, I love this thing.
I'm originally from Augusta, Georgia, and I went to college there, and, you know, been born and raised in Augusta. And it was just like, you know, I was working with the festivals there, and, you know, shout out to Brenda Durant, Arts in the Heart of Augusta Festival. You know, she got me on my way and everything. But I started to notice that, you know, I had a vision of expanding the platforms for other people. It's just like, you know, I looked at Atlanta, I'm like, Atlanta has an open mic every day of the week at a different location every single minute. And it's just like the entertainment scene and the business scene of, when it comes to poetry and live entertainment is so huge in Atlanta. I'm like, I need to put my focus there. So I moved to Atlanta in 2005 and I started the Do You Lyric Lounge. Do You to the Fullest.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. I love this thing. Do You.
And so we started off at Hodgepodge Coffee House. And I mean, we've been there for like 10, 15 years or whatnot. And just different locations started taking a look. They're like, man, you know, this show is great. It's not just poetry. It's poetry. It's live music. It's hip hop. It's, you know, comedians come out. It's a variety show.
She was doing this before she met me.
Right.
She was already in motion, you know, by the time I came on the scene.
But the caveat to that story is that I was doing it all by myself. You know, I had a boyfriend at the time and whatnot. You know, he would be there every once in a while. But like once the boyfriend left, it was kind of like I'm walking in with speakers on my back. I'm walking in with like all, I'm the door manager. I'm the poet hosting. I'm performing. Just everything was Lady V, Lady V. So it's just like, you know, that's kind of overwhelming when you think a one woman show, literally. So one day, you know, in 2017, here comes CEO Alan Poe in my Facebook Messenger inbox talking about, you know, I see that you host shows, you know, do you need a free DJ?
Well, I'm going to interject real quick because I see where this is going. Before she met me, I was already doing music tours. I've done the Hot 97, I've done the truth.com tour, I've done the Mountain Dew MDX tour, I've done the N1 mixtape tour. So I've already had like four or five tours under the belt from state to state. Mm-hmm. They wanted me to go to London at one time, but you know, I was like, nah, you know, that's too much at that time. So then within that time, you know, I have my music, my team, got back from the tour and I was just like, you know what? We have to take this thing seriously right now. Mm-hmm. You know, everything from, you know, you guys are very local. Just today, I had a conversation with the guys at my job, and I was like, there's more than what you see right before you. You know, I've been through, you know, Death Valley in Nevada and Arizona. I've done Las Vegas and Disney World and Seattle and Montana. And my favorite place is Utah and Denver. You know, what you know about that? I've stayed there. Those are dates on the tour. But it was like, okay, let's take this thing seriously. I had to cut a lot of people off, you know. Uh-huh. So by doing that, I was like, okay, I'm in Atlanta. You know, I'm little shows here and there. I can't say little show.
Never say little show. It's a little show.
I did the Juneteenth. That's what I correct. The Juneteenth.
Juneteenth.
Yeah. I did the Juneteenth. A couple of the music fests. I've done Sweet Auburn Festival for the last, what, 4 or 5 years. So I had a push on the scene and whatnot, but I'm behind the scenes as a producer. Mm. You know, I had the artists, they were the front runners, and I'm on the turntable set. I'm the one in the studio. I'm the one coaching them. So then I was just like, well, you know what? Let's take this up another level. So then that's where I seen her. She does shows and whatnot. I have a record label, and I needed a connection. I needed, I need a place where we can showcase brand new music, brand new, like right off the board, without having censorship in the way, without, having to go through, you got to pay $100 here to perform and $200 here. So then I contacted her. I said, well, you know what? If I can get my artists to come out and perform on your platform, I'll DJ all your shows. Mm. I'll be your music guy.
And you're kind of cute, so I'll take you out to dinner.
Why not?
What else were you going to do?
That came later. That came much later.
So that's not part of the business, but yeah. I mean, once I saw that, I have somebody that has a lot of resources, but he's kind of handsome too. He's a good protector. He's got a great personality. I can be with this guy. Yeah. I'm all right. Cool. I don't feel bad hanging out with this dude. Yeah. Okay.
So the first show, a friend of mine picked this up. He got there late because him and his wife was, I don't know what
was
going.
He was late to my first show, but
I'm relying on him to come pick me up with some of the equipment. And then he was just like, well, I'm late. Do you still want to go? I said, well, one thing I don't do, I don't like canceling shows. Though, if I give my word to something, that's what I'm going to do. Right. So then I was like, no, we're going to go anyway, So yeah. We got down there, plugged up. I'm thinking I'm so used to like a big concert setting in an arena, hundreds, 200, people outside and tickets.
The coffee shop is great.
we got to the coffee shop. I'm like, okay, cool. All right. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to just treat it the same way. So I'm like, what do I set up? Remember that time I had to go grab that box in the back. We put it on stage. I'm so used to the whole setup where I'm overlooking the crowd. I got a little box, took the turntable set, put it on there, had the amp on the floor, and then we just had the show.
But one thing I will say, I guess in conclusion to this story, is that whether it's a coffee shop, whether it's a, hole in the wall type of play, he's bringing the monitors, he's bringing the big old speakers. Because you never know who's in the audience, you never know who's going to see you. Bring your show to my big old venue. Yeah. Because when it comes to Hodgepodge Coffee House, we've been there for 15 years. Yeah. Every single time is just kind of like a new experience. I'm just like, well, we can't really slack off because Tyler Perry's manager might be in the audience incognito, and we don't even know.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I've always talked to the artists about. Like, you never know who's in the crowd. You never know who's going to bring you to the next level. So we treat everything the same. They was like, "How are you late? We're going to go." I made sure that the sound was right. I made sure that, the visuals were right. I made sure that the branding was right, so you know exactly what I'm representing. And then she was there, and it was a great performance. The people that she had on her open mic was like, oh, wow, I've never heard of these, them. Hey, a lot of the connections came from the shows and whatnot. So then afterwards, I just told her, I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to create the show and make sure it feels like a concert in the sense of promotion wise. She's a marketing beast. You get a
I definitely concur.
You're a marketing beast. And then I was just like, well, let's just start off with making sure that the flyers look right, not just generic, but have some pop to them, to make sure that the sound is right, because she had a little speaker set or whatever the case may be. I said, okay, now we're going to increase the sound, so when they in there, they feel like, hey, wow, this is great. Oh, I love how it sounds when I hook up my phone to perform at the open mic, and I've never felt like this before.
It's not just a show, it's a production.
It's a concert. And I was just like, then on, you know, that was her role. That's what she's good at on my side. I respect that. And then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna let you do what you yeah. like. You
good y'all at. Teaching. Y'all teaching right now, man, because you know, I say it all the time, it's so important to take every opportunity serious. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's one person in there, that one person, even if that one person is just like a 9-to-5er, that person might know somebody else.
Yes.
That has the juice.
The juice.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, for sure. You know, yeah. You know, yeah. So Lady V, where did you get all of this from? Do you have family members or that it's just in your blood?
I believe I get it from like my anger for being ignored. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's just kind of like in Augusta, I felt like they were, and not everyone, I definitely won't say everyone, but there was a lot of people that were gatekeepers. Like, you know, only these people can do this and we don't want to hear what you have to say. So it's just like, you know, that kind of fueled me to be like, well, you know, if I can't do this, I'm going to create something that I can be a part of. And so if I got to be the boss lady of that, then, oh, well, you know, that's what we're going to do. So it's just like, I know it's kind of cliche for now, but it's just like, whatever you feel like you, if it's not available, you can create it. Yeah. You can make it happen, because it's just like, you can be the CEO and the boss of whatever it is. And so it's really not in my blood, I don't think. It's like my sister, she's a social worker. My mom was a teacher for 30 years, you know, kindergarten teacher. So shout out to all the teachers. But it's like when it comes to entertainment, I'm just like, I wrote a poem back in ninth grade in National Poetry Month. And my teachers in the high school, they're like, you know, man, that's really good. You know, you should share your work and stuff like that. So we started doing, you know, poetry in the library at school and having little, you know, shows in the cafeteria and stuff like that. And I'm just like, well, if I can provide this platform for other people to get their emotions out, you know, that means that whenever I host a show, I can do my poetry too, and everybody's going to be heard. So it was a fuel for me is like, well, you know, let's create this platform for everybody else and make myself shine at the same time. It's like, hey, you know, best of both worlds.
That's so good. It's so important to create something bigger than you.
Yes.
That's what allows you to propel yourself and others. So definitely I truly believe in that. And so I would imagine coming off of or coming out of that relationship where you were like unequally artistically yoked, if you will, you know, and now you have like a like-minded partner. How is that for you now that you have somebody to really support you and bounce ideas off of? Come to, like y'all are at your studio now at 9:30 at night with this your son. That's beautiful. So how has that changed?
I mean, you're definitely correct. I mean, a lot of the boyfriends from the past, they were poets and they were competing with me. So it's just like, you know, and that kind of is, you know, he's a hip hop guy, you know, he can write you some bars, you know, definitely don't count that out. But, you know, the poets I were dating, they're just like, you know, we would go to the venue like, hey, Lady V, hey, Lady, and they would be in the shadows in the background and they're looking at me like, nah. So we've come home after the show having arguments like, you know, yeah, I can't hold your purse at the show. Wow. You know, stuff like that. But now it's like, you know, I know that he has his lane. He's the music guy. I'm the poet. So like I just told a client recently, I'm just like, you know, he knows all the technical recording stuff. Don't ask me about that. You know, if you want me to write a poem for you, if you want me to record a poem for you, that's fine. But if you want, you know, anything about the music, you need to see Alan Poe about that. Yeah. So I'm happy that, you know, in this, you know, stage of my life or whatever, I do have somebody that's, you know, patting my back after the show and not like, you know, hating on me or just like, man, you know, I wish I had got that poetry award or whatever. I don't think that you want a poet award. I don't think.
I mean, if it comes,
hey,
yeah,
you know, a hip hop, you know, I mean, bars award, I guess so. But it's really, I love the fact that I don't have to compete with my husband. I don't have to, you know, be trying to like dim my light to make him shine more. I dated people that I had to do that with, and I'm just like, that's really exhausting when you have to pull somebody up all the time. It's like, no, they're clapping for both of us. They really are.
Right.
It's really nice to be equally yoked with somebody that you know, pats you on the back and is excited about the things that you're doing. He's looking at me like, I haven't gotten a compliment all week. Thank you.
It's been dry over here.
Receive it, brother. Receive it. That's awesome.
You know,
that's
DJ awesome. Vulture, he comes to the shows. He's dancing to daddy's music and all that. I mean, it's a really great thing when everybody's on the same page. Everybody's like, hey, you know, this is the goal and here's where we're going. This is the direction we're going and God's leading the way.
That's beautiful. That's so key. And I'll venture to say that it's somewhat rare. You know, there's some creatives that have a spouse or a partner that isn't a creative. You know, they're more logical, whatever else. And sometimes, you know, the heads butt. Right. Yeah. Because the creative, their mind's always moving. We're always on, you know what I mean? And the spouse or the partner's like, are you always on? Like, you know what I mean? So to
100%.
Hey, always, all the time.
Yes.
You know, but so Alan, so when you saw, I guess, it working, you were like, yeah. She's the one.
Yeah, she's definitely. Matter of fact, you know, it was more like the respect factor first. You know, I'm there at her show. I'm seeing how she moves. Even prior to the show, I'm seeing her advertise. I'm seeing the monster that she is when she's in her zone. So I'm like, well, you know, I got to tighten up. You know what I mean? I have to, you know, I can't come out here and be like, running with her, there's a lot that I've learned to her through her.
You can't make me look bad. You can't.
Yeah, I mean, no. There's a lot of stuff, like, you know, handling the business, like when the Eventbrite stuff and make, you know, check, making sure the, you know, the features are taken care of and the venue is taken care of, the percentage that they get, all of that stuff, you know, not just popping up. Hey, let me plug in. Hey, let's have a party. All right, I'm out of here. Then, you're like, hold on, I didn't make no money out of that, you know? So it was more like I had to respect her hustle before anything. And that's, once I did that, I'm like, you know what, Al? You don't know everything. You're going to learn through this woman right here. So what I did was, you know, I'm like, okay, God, you know, you in control of the universe and stuff and everything in life. So there's a reason why he brung her into my life. From that point on, it's been a learning experience. You know, we do bump heads, but never to the point where it's just like, you know what?
He goes and thinks about it like, okay, you're right.
Well, that's not always true.
Sometimes.
Yeah, but it's a thing where, you know, just understanding, you know, we're both business minded. So we have to kind of pick and choose the right, you know, road to take. Sometimes I'm very, you know, I'll just go ahead and, you know, if I hurt your feelings, it is what it is, you know. But then at the same time, she might say the same thing, but it'd be less of a blow. So,
I mean, and as you can tell from the accents, you know, I'm the Southern Belle and he's the Queens, New York. So it's kind of like, you know, in our power couple type of situation, I'm just like, well, you know, maybe I should slow down. And he's just like, let's do it right now. Yeah, so it kind of balances itself out. It's just like, he's very, you know, we need to do things right now. And I'm like, well, let me plan this for a couple of months.
Like a couple of months. Hey, come on, Alan, I'm
you and Lady V is my wife, so I'm right there with you, man. So you're from New York. When did you come to or travel to Atlanta?
Well, 2004. Okay. You know, came down to Atlanta. It's a whole different experience.
Pretty much, we hit Atlanta at the same time, 2004, 2005.
Two different lifestyles.
We didn't know each other till 2017.
But the one thing was, real quick, like 30-second story, you know, time and everything. I was doing a show for another client. an open mic, whatever the case may be. They were trying to build up their brand. She was having a show prior to the show that I was doing. So I get there. She was there. She was just leaving, standing. That's the day when you with your microphone. She left her microphone.
Yeah, left my mic stand. Don't steal my mic stand.
You know, because we got there, we're about to set up. She was just leaving, and then we passed. You know, we passed each other, and didn't know that later on in life that this was going to be my wife. So wow. I was just like, wow, you never know. You never know what's going on. So you have to, treat every situation. You have to really think about. Can't be impulsive and not really understand how you want to move. So,
yeah.
But, 2004, I came down here. Been down okay. here. Had to adapt to the scene.
Yeah.
You know, the Scotland
head. How was the New York scene
prior? I mean, at that time, it was kind of transitioning to the South because people got tired of the beat you up, shoot you, guns, and all of that stuff. And they were down here with the candy paint, the rims, you know, family barbecues and stuff like that. So I'm like, all right, it's a cool vibe. It's a little bit laid back here. But the hustle was still the same.
Yeah, I was going to just say, there's one thing I can say about the South is that sometimes they have a wonderful plan, but it takes a real long time to execute it. It's just like every single detail has to be in place. And I respect that. But, you know, I really need that fire, that hustle to kind of, you know, get that execution going as well. So that's really helpful.
What, that me?
What, you? That's what I'm talking about.
So, all right. So when you guys got together, right? Mm-hmm. And you all had your separate entities. Mm-hmm. How, because I'm looking at the banner and I'm seeing both entities come together. How was that? Was that a difficult process to meld them together at all?
I say you created the blended logo.
So. All right. It was something like, okay, here's the thing. I'm a music producer. You know, I'm running a label and stuff like, and things like that. She has an open mic. So it's more like people come to the open mic to showcase their talent. And here I am looking for new talent. So I'm like, wow, you can't get any closer than that. Like somebody, like a lot of the new artists off the new projects, you know, the 10 albums that I currently have out working on the 11th and 12th as we speak now. A lot of those acts came through the open mic. You know, they got there, you know, I play all original music, you know, at the show. So you're not going to hear a lot of the stuff unless I'm called to DJ, then I'm going to DJ what you normally hear. But other mm-hmm. at the show, that's what makes the shows unique. It's all original music. So and then I see the artists get up there after they perform. I'm listening to how their sound quality is. I'm like, you're going to, you know, really perform? Your sound is all, it's not mastered right. The levels are off. And you're really going to try to win the crowd over? So I'm like, mm-hmm. you know what? I think that you need to come talk to me. Let's talk. You already hear from the show, from the music, what I can do. So, you know, then that's where that works at.
I mean, I think a lot of the, you know, blended logo type of thing is it's like you were kind of struggling with it in the beginning. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, we have two businesses that complement each other. So mm-hmm. we might as well present it that way. Yeah. It's like whenever we have a email, that's on the bottom of the email. That's the signature. It's like, well, this is what we're presenting to the world. So mm-hmm. it's just like, here's the Alan Poe music side mm-hmm. and here's the poetry or the open mic side mm-hmm. all pushed together. Here you go. And that way they'll give them that visual. Like, you know, it's not Lady B over here and Alan Poe over here is Art Out Loud ATL together.
Yeah, she was really pushing the art out. That's her dream. That was her dream. And she sold me that dream. You know, she was just like, you know, on out loud, a place where creatives come to create.
Providing stages and microphones for voices that need to be heard. There we go. That's the motto.
And I was like, man, that's corny. I'm not really, all right.
But you have to have a mission. Yeah. You have to have a tagline, because it's just like, that's what people are going to remember. You know, if they're, once you're Art Out Loud in New York or in Wisconsin or wherever, it's like, hey, these are the people that provide stages and microphones to voices that need to be heard. And that's what we want for our corporate event or whatever it is.
Then once you started to move, the momentum started, I'm like, whoa, this is great. You know, these people coming up to after the show, booking studio time, wanting music production, and Al, can you work with me? I've seen what you can do. I want to be around you and your wife, the production and everything like that. I'm like, oh, okay, all
right. So one thing really kind of feeds into the other. It's like, if we didn't have the open mic, we might not have people even knowing about our studio, or we might not have, you know, people that want to record music and stuff like that, because they get up on stage, they do a whole hip hop set or whatever. It's like, well, do you have an album? No. Why not? It's like, let's go in the sound booth. Let's go ahead and do it now.
And then even on top of that, we do a lot of mentoring. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the business that we know, we want them to know. So even if you don't decide to work with us, at least you got that jewel to take with you to someplace else. So you just don't walk in there like, oh, I don't know anything. No, here's a little egg. Go ahead, a little seed. Plant that seed, and then, you know, if you decide to stay, the doors is open. But business first.
That's good. So the open mic was like a automatic lead generator for the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you have the people that come in that have music, they just want to record it, but then you have, you know, like, oh, you know, you think you can make it better, or it's more like they already heard the music that I'm playing there, and that's their vibe. Like I want to sound like how she sound on the track. I want to sound better than who the person that I'm working with. I'm like, all right.
So the open mic is a great place to advertise your other services. It's just like, what do you call it? Cross promotion. Yeah. And it's like, if we have a show, you know, at another venue or whatever, it's just like, you know, the poets and the singers and the audience, they're like, well, yeah, you know, let me think about the services that I could use at the studio. Or let me think, they're sitting at the show, you know, thinking about their talent and what they can use our services for, which is what I want them to do. And it's like, you know, why wouldn't you? If you're at a show and you're enjoying yourself, it's like, man, this sounds really nice. I want my album to sound like this. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you get a lot of obstacles like that. But then once they come and see and absorb the energy and all that other stuff, they're not going too far. They're actually going to wherever they're going, they're going to compare what we're doing. And then like, they all end up coming back.
Gotcha. My motto is quality creative expression. Yeah, I'm a Taurus, so if it's not quality, I don't want nothing to do with it.
Excellence. Yeah.
So I enjoy it.
That's good.
It's time to create an unforgettable experience at your next event with The Poet Life by booking a keynote poet. Poets excite your audience with motivating messages, charismatic delivery, colorful rhythm, powerful prose, and heart-filled stories with a style of spoken word that's tailored specifically to your event. The Poet Life has keynote poets in your city of all ages and backgrounds.
Visit thepoetlife.com to learn more and book your poet today. So I noticed that you all, because earlier this year, we had the Poetry Business Tour, and we had the privilege, or I had the privilege, to stop by Atlanta for one of our stops. And we had the opportunity to work with you all to where your studio is where we had our poetry business workshop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I could actually see the production and the equipment and all of that that you all had. Is that your first one? Because I know you have multiple now. So tell me about the studios and how that evolved into multiple studios.
Well, we just have one studio, but we've been in several others before this one. This is a brand new studio. You haven't been in this studio
yet.
Yeah,
this one, yeah. the one that you're referring to, that's old news. We've moved from there. We completely upgraded.
But we started off, let me turn this down a bit. We started off in, the first studio was in a thrift shop in Jonesboro. Yeah. And it was just one big room, and we had everything in that room. You know, we had the seats for the show in the room. We had the t-shirts up on the wall. We had the I mean, it wasn't separated at all. It was just all in one big room. Mm-hmm. No air condition, no heat. And nobody really knew where we were because we were inside this humongous thrift store. So, I mean, that was what we could afford at the time. You know, I'm always thinking about, I don't want to go broke. You know, I got my mortgage over here. I want to make sure I can pay my lease too, you know. Right. And so we moved from there to, let's see, it was another Jonesboro studio. It was, you know, really big, really spacious. We had more. We had like 50 chairs in there. Yeah, you know, the places that we could do the works, creative writing workshops and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. but at that time, it's like they wanted us to pay for the heat and the furnace and the air conditioning and everything on top of the mortgage, the lease too.
And that was during COVID. So even if we had, you know, shows there, we couldn't gather. Right. You know, it was against the law to have 20, 30 people up in the same area.
So we found out that, you know, during COVID, we can't have, you know, a gathering there and people come out. We try to do virtual things, but nobody really pays, you know, $20 for a virtual show. So it was kind of difficult to raise the money we needed for the lease because it's just like, you know, COVID is telling us we can't have nobody pay door admission. So we moved from there to an, that was the medical office we moved into.
we've been to like four or five.
Yeah, spots, I mean, so there's been several, but we learn from every spot we've been at. It's like, we don't want to have stairs. We don't want to have.
Yeah, because when we had a workshop, you know, we had, I wouldn't say.
No, I mean, we have people that's in wheelchairs and like crutches and stuff, and they can't.
Elevator.
There is no elevator at all. It's just like, how are we supposed to, you know, have people come and see us if it's not handicap accessible?
Handicap accessible and that.
And equipment.
It wasn't on the bus route. It was
the location is everything.
Location is everything. You know, you had the people to come out there, but. We had seemed like we had more people at this new spot because we're close to the city. We're close to to everything.
I mean, this studio now is like it's right by Greenbrier Mall. You know, our address is Atlanta, and so once we put out promotions and things like that, we said Jonesboro. They're like, oh man, Riverdale. Oh my god,
it's Marietta.
Like, Marietta. But it's like, if you know,
the gas to get out there.
Exactly. Man. So I mean, being more central is helped us out a lot because it's just like, you know, we're close to everybody. People can come out and they don't have to, you know, worry about the gas expense and things like that. Yeah. So if you can find a studio, if you can find, you know, a creative space that's, you know, central to wherever you're at, then that's the way to go.
And one selling factor was all without
utilities, everything included. So it's like, you know, you pay your lease and then, you know, water is included, electricity is included.
Utilities included? You know, I have a studio.
With him and all his, you know, electronic equipment and things like that, I'm just man, you know, we need to have just one bill instead of five bills. Yeah,
then we prayed about it. You know, one thing, you know, I mean, all these stories that we're telling, we had to pack up. We had the dream, the inspiration to move into the space. Oh, yeah, this is going to do it. And then we had to. It just didn't work. This didn't pan out. So,
and another thing I'll say is that we had to condense a lot of things. It's like, I don't know if you remember Megatron, but he has like this humongous, like big old V103 radio soundboard.
Yeah, I had that.
And we had to get rid of that because every time we moved to a new studio, we had to get a U-Haul truck. And we had
it was a lot of stuff. It was a lot of stuff. One thing about, you know, downsizing in a way is like, you know, you don't need all of that, you know.
Right.
It was, you know, back in the days, if you come to this to a studio and they have all the electronics laid out and they don't use it all at the same time, they might have this little box that do everything, but visually that room sells because of everything that's in it.
It's impressive, but you only need like three things, but you know, the whole room is full of just stuff.
And for me to do that, like, why you know, move into the space and have this big soundboard occupy one room that I don't use. And then I can condense that and then find the new spot where we at now is 1500 square feet. Mm-hmm. You know, we at five rooms. We have we're in the conference room right now, two conference rooms, two studios. She has her office. We both share office. It's what we need at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I had to get rid of a lot of the stuff because it was taking up space. You know, I told a couple of the producers, they were like, oh, why you, you know, this is Fred. It's cool to take pictures in front of, but I don't use that anymore. I'm right. Technology, you know what I mean? I'm on technology. This little box right here does the 10 times more than what that big board do. The sound quality is better.
So what right. We use this office for creative writing workshops for creative. You see he's got on his Allen Poe apparel. Yeah, he does the t-shirts and backpacks and stuff like that, putting logos on things. Yeah. But when we have the shows, we go to different venues like Westview Makerspace is our second Saturday event space show. And like every fourth Saturday, we go to Hodgepodge Coffee House. That holds 150 something people. So let them pay the overhead. Let them do that. And then, you know, my studio is for, the smaller things and for recording. So that really works out, having both things.
Yeah. I mean, one way to look at it, if you had you have a party for the family, the family comes to the house, you good 20 people. But if you want to have a real party, you go rent out a club or venue.
You rent out the Hilton.
There would be no limitations to how many people could come. So I was like, well, when we tried to do that, it just didn't work at the time. Because like I said, COVID, we learned a lot doing that whole transition. Like we wanted to keep everything in house because at the same time, she wanted, if it doesn't work, we still have the space to have shows. That we did that for a little bit, but people were still funny about coming out and gathering and stuff like that. So I'm like, hey, the venue here, 500 capacity? That's where we need to do it, not just get upset because the people won't come to the studio that we're trying to flip into an event space.
So the main goal, maybe in a couple of more years that we move from this studio, would be to get a place to have. The only aspect that this studio doesn't have is an event space in it.
I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that. I mean, because I kind of feel like when we hear.
Like our headquarters.
This is our business. This is where we get busy at. This is where we come up with. I like that. I'm in my zone right now. This is where we come. We she sit across the desk. We come up with the ideas. We're looking at our numbers, our finances, looking at the calendars, and then recording. I don't have to have 20, 50 people in the studio with me. This the people that I need at the time. And if we do want to have a gathering, we could put a cap on that where people will be comfortable, comfortable to come and hang out with us. Last time we had 25, 30 people.
Yeah, I think we had like a 20 person open mic here, but it was kind of like, I had to give them flyers to our others. It was like, we can spread out at these other places. Yeah. But I think he wants to keep it kind of, intimate. He wants to keep it like, mm-hmm. These are our quality core folks that can come to our studio.
Yeah, it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, come on through for the book reading.
So, Christoph, you're welcome. You have a pass to come to the studio. You're on the guest list.
Yeah. I love it.
We really want to have a big event. We have the venue for that. We have the connection for that. We can, supply or accommodate 400 or 500 capacity if we had to.
Yeah.
At any time. Again, we don't want to do that here. I don't want 500 people at the house here.
Yeah. I'm hearing keep going. I'm hearing don't stop no matter what. Keep going, no matter what the situation is, COVID, whatever. We adjust, we pivot, but we keep going.
Got to. I mean, that's for him, for him. I mean, this, the funny thing, everything, even all the music production I'm doing now, his name is in the publishing. He's going to get everything everything I touch right now. He's in it. They'll have, okay, music by C.O. Allen Poe, lyrics by Christoph, you know,
we might get to write some lyrics.
Executive producer DJ Voltaire, so he gets a percentage of everything, you know, and that sets him up, you know.
That's so beautiful.
I'm that's one thing that I had to learn. Like, you know what? Let me get him right, you know. And then he's around this stuff. So eventually, if this is the route that he want to take, it's already laid down for him.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, man. We just finished doing something for a client. It was a music video for a client. And I put my daughters as the creative advisors in the credits because I bounce ideas off of them.
Yeah.
You know, it was a kid's music video.
Hey.
Right. So they're kids, they're 5, 7, and 8, and that's the perfect age. And they were like, no, daddy, do this. No, daddy, do that. And I was like, well, shoot, y'all give you the credits.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you know, think about Blue Ivy. Blue Ivy's set up for life.
she's done. She's worth what, $23 million something right now. And she that, and they say, and it was like, well, she didn't even put out no records yet, nothing. And she's
but
already,
she danced her butt off at them concerts.
Yeah,
though.
And she's learning to open up. Yeah. Right when she first started dancing, she was a little stiff, you know.
Now she's
going for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when you give them the green light and create the platform for them, it's just going to be all right. So where do I move? Where do I step? And what I love the most is they get to see us doing it.
Yeah,
they'll do what they see before they do what they're told.
Yeah. And a lot of the music production nowadays, he's on my lap. He literally like on the lap, like I'm trying
pressing the MPC buttons.
Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But he's part of the process. You know, I think that was something that, you know, like I said, God is in control of everything. So he knows exactly what he's doing. If he's being molded to carry on the legacy, that's where it's at. You know, my job is to make sure that he's set up. He has the fundamentals and the principles.
Foundation.
Yeah.
Foundation. Yeah, he'll be comfortable on stage. I booked Lady V to host an event for one of our organization clients, and DJ Voltaire was the co-host.
Right.
You know, in her arms, and the audience just loved it, and he's just relaxed and no fear.
She was beautiful. In the beginning, that was her thing. She was very concerned about, the shows. I gotta let the shows go. I don't know what to do with DJ. I said, well, he'll be fine.
I mean, in the beginning, I went through kind of a mini depression a little bit because it's like my mother would drive all the way from Augusta on the second Saturday to babysit him for 2 hours and drive home. Because I'm like, I don't trust nobody. Grandma can do it. But like that got to be kind of overwhelming with her car and gas money and stuff like that. I'm just like, well, you know, now he's a little bit older. Let's bring him to the shows. And at first, you know, he was like, you know, stranger danger. Everybody was like, you know, don't look him in the eye and everything like that. But I think with, you know, Dad, with Dad playing the music and stuff like that, he started dancing out in the crowd and stuff like that. So now he's more comfortable around, you know, our poet friends, I call it. You know, Maurice the Ghetto Deacon, I give him a shout out. He comes to almost every single show. And it's like he sings his songs at the house or whatever. So it's just like when he comes to the show, he's very comfortable around the different entertainers. And I love the fact that I don't have to be like, oh, don't touch my child. Don't touch my child.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
he's definitely on stage. You know, when she passed him on to me, I'm behind the barrier where you can't see the DJ set, and he's sitting there doing exactly what he's doing now on the phone. Sometimes he may be hitting a couple of buttons, but he's definitely comfortable and has adapted to the whole situation.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, and then that makes her feel better too. You know, that makes her feel she's more relaxed. She's more in tune to the audience, trying to do whatever she needs to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's moments when he'll act up a little bit, start crying, but it doesn't last long.
Yeah,
it doesn't last. As long as we have Coco Melon, it's we're good. We're good all the way.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean there, Lady V. Because you don't want to stop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's hard to build momentum again. You know what I mean? Like, you want to keep the momentum high, even though you have life, going on, right? And so it's like, baby, but my thing is, keep going no matter how fast or slow. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got to slow down some, just don't stop.
Yeah.
Because that starting and stopping, man, it's like working out.
Yes. I don't feel like doing this no more.
And then there was times I was like, you know what? When is the last time you wrote a new piece? You're dealing with him and whatever the case may be. I got him. Get into your zone. Pick the pen up, do your thing. You hear the music production, write your verse to something, keep it going, do a show. Like, there was time when, we're in the living room. I'm like, okay, do a feature set. We right here, we're watching you. You keep doing, don't stop. Because when she stops, she becomes a little miserable. And then
that mini depression.
Yes, catch that, but then I know what it is. She's trying to find her way with motherhood and stuff like that, trying to balance the time, trying to be a mother, wife, provider and all this other stuff. So I'm like, you know what? But still write it. That's where that book come from,
A good segue.
Yeah, that's where that book comes from.
What are we talking about? Man, I love it, man.
Okay, after pandemic, let's have a baby. The life story,
the true story of DJ Voltaire. Yeah. After the pandemic, let's have a baby.
hey, write what you feel in that, connect. If you need to do a musical or something to that, we'll do that later on. We have the resources to do that. But get that out, because it's frustrating when you have all of this and that's your way of escaping or getting these feelings out. I'm like, go ahead. And she sat there in 2 weeks. She got the pen and she was upstairs in the home and writing it down and typing it up. And next thing I was like, okay, book's done. You know what I mean?
I encourage all the poets that I know. I'm just like, you got a lot of feelings swirling around in your head. You're frustrated. Just get the notebook and write it out. Right. It's like, you can edit it later, but it's got to come out, because if it doesn't, you're going to walk around and it's going to be all in your shoulders.
Yeah. I'm like, come on, and I'm one of her biggest fans. I'm like, yo, you leaving me hanging. You leaving your whole fan base. What happened to Lady V? Lady V the poet. What's going on? Come on, come with it. Even write about whatever, at least put some new material out.
Yeah.
And the book came out of she just went crazy with it. And next thing we was published and stuff. I mean, I sneak and read a couple of the poems, good, bad, and ugly, but at least that's what she felt.
And I've sold a couple to some mothers in Atlanta and in Augusta, and they say that they relate to the feeling. They didn't have no one to tell them to, but they read my poetry. They're like, I relate to everything you're saying, because it is overwhelming at times. Right. You're looking at, a 40-something-year-old new mom that's never been a mom before, and it's just like, where do I put those? No sound effects.
There we go.
Where do you put those feelings of, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to figure it out every day? You write them down. You're a poet. You need to write it, get it out. So thank you for the compliment, CEO Alan Poe. I'm calling him his stage name.
I knew what it was. I mean, it's always we always say that our art is very therapeutic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She needed that. She needed that. That baby crying and I'm at work and then she trying to figure it out. I'd rather her write down and, you know, write down how she feeling. But then at that point, I'm like, hold on. That's when the business, the light bulb went off. If she's going through this, I know there's a million people that feel the same way. Mm-hmm. I know the community want to know what happened to these guys that was doing the shows and music videos and open mics and recording in the studio. What happened to them? So in that book, that time that we was away, that's what the daily dictations. I say that right.
Daily dictations. That's gonna be the title of the next
daily
book.
Daily dictations of what we was going through. You know, I mean, there was one where she talked about, I wanted to scream inside, and you know, no one won't hear me, and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to keep him alive, and I'm looking at her like, whoa, that's real deep. Wow.
But I mean, the important thing I want to say is that, like, some of the stuff that I wrote about, it was because people were looking at me like, oh, she's a mother now, she can't be a poet anymore.
Yeah.
Or she's a mother now, she can't be an event producer anymore. And I'm just like, the skills are still there. You know, it's like, don't count me out of these opportunities. You know, maybe I need a babysitter now, or maybe, you know, Alan has to stay home and watch my child now, but don't kick me out of the show and don't kick me out of the opportunities just because I have a child now. I'm still a poet and I'm still, you know, a marketer and I'm still, you know, these skills didn't go away just because I had a baby. So I had to make sure that I assert myself and have confidence to be like, hey, here's my resume. If you want to work with me, I'm still the same person.
We talked about that too. Some opportunities kind of dissolve, but I'm looking at, look at the opportunities now. You know, right. You gained more than you lost. You know, in that aspect, because they seen how durable she was, you know, her bounce back. She had the child and all this other stuff and got married, had the child so quickly and all this other stuff. And now, hold on, she's talking about going on tour. She's talking about doing this and they're over here one day, they're in this state, this day. And how are they doing that?
It's an inspiration to people. Yeah, and I like the fact that people are inspired by, you know, we keep on keeping on, as you said.
Yeah, we're not going to stop. Yeah. This is just the beginning. We're not going to stop.
Yeah. You had to go through that so you could tell people how you got through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's beautiful. Yeah. Everything is necessary. Everything is necessary. All of the, you know, going throughs, all the lessons, because when you do write that book, like as you wrote your book, you know, it would be a boring book if you never went through anything.
Yeah.
I agree.
To write the book.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's beautiful. Where can we find that book?
You can find it on Amazon. I have my own Amazon page, amazon.com. And you can also, and I mean, I can definitely share the website is Art Out Loud ATL. I guess it's artoutloud-atl.company.site. So we put his shirts on there. We put my books on there. We have Slick Talk lip balm we put on there. That's all natural lip balm. So it's just kind of like we want to have a site for our products, and you can go on there and look for the shows and things like that. And also, you know, if you don't know anything about us, if you're international, whatever, you can always go on Amazon and type in Lady Be the Poet and my stuff will come up there.
Yeah,
that's dope. That's awesome, man. So what are y'all working on right now? Like, what projects are y'all working on?
Ooh.
Like, you got another hour. I know. What? Let's see. What month is it? This is October.
October.
And so, of course, we have our regular open mic every second Saturday. Is going to be this Saturday at Westview Makerspace.
Yes.
Featuring Takwa the Edutainer. He's going to come and do his thing. So that's every second Saturday. And this month is special because on October the 22nd, we'll be at the Dawn Event Center. And we've never had a show there before, but it is a beautiful, just, I mean, this woman is like, the decor got balloons and got lights, and just, it's a real big event space.
Yeah, we're dressing up for this one. I have to put the Italian suit on.
It's called Upscale Expressions Giving Back in Style. And so everybody, I come up with a show title. He thinks they're corny, but they're not.
I love it.
But it's Giving Back in Style because portions of the door admission are going to go towards Lift Up Atlanta, and they help homeless people, you know, get their resources that they need, and they, you know, go out with food drives. And
we volunteer with them a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. Whatever they tried it with the book bags, and then last time we went down there,
the Christmas supplies and stuff like that. Yeah. So I mean, whatever is we're going to take a total at the end of the night and just give like 30% or 50 or even 50% to them because they've helped me out so much. But that's going to be special because DJ Voltaire doesn't have any dress up clothes, so it's just like we going to have to buy him a little suit and a bow tie. But it's called Upscale Expressions Giving Back in Style. Is featuring Mr. B-Rock, the rock star poet.
He my guy.
Yes, he's coming out in his tuxedo. So that's going to be awesome. We got 12 spotlight performers and we'll have a limited open mic. And October the 28th is our Hodgepodge Coffee House show. So that's every fourth Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's going to be just a straight open mic, you know, open mic variety show. And in November and December, we'll move it up to the third Saturday because of the holidays. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't really want to have a show on Thanksgiving weekend or Christmas weekend or anything like that. So we're still going to have the show in November, December, but it's going to be moved up.
Yeah. Hip hop versus.
That's not my stuff. So.
You got to tell.
That's kind of like a side note or whatnot, but mm-hmm. I'm the stage manager and the PR manager for Poetry versus Hip Hop. So they're going on like a 10 city winery tour. And it's just like, the city winery, they have a city winery in New York and I think Kansas City and like 8 other places. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, you know, Queen Sheba, we want you to bring your show to all these places. I'm like, wow, can I go? So, I mean, I got like the details today about how, you know, she's got a brand new business manager and she's going to handle all the finances and the sponsorships and stuff like that. And I just found out that, you know, this is the first time Queen Sheba's ever done this. So it's just like, we're all learning together. Yeah. I'm like, I'm happy to be involved with that. Happy to be on the team because, you know, if you're on the ground level foundation, you're going to be loyal and stick with them forever. So that's awesome. It's just like, we can make it a vacation, you know, me and I'll pack DJ Voltaire in the suitcase. Here's Alan Poe, you know, we can go to the different city wineries and do our thing. That's going to be great. Yeah. But other than that, what I was talking about before earlier, the Blackberry Peach Poetry Conference is coming up next year in June. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, if I'm going to be doing a workshop there, it might be a Christoph Jenkins Lady Be the Poet. You know, I even came up with a title of it, like the Multiple Streams of Poetry. Like, how many revenue streams can you get from poetry and like kind of bring it all to? We might have to talk about that later, but since they're already having me do a workshop, it's like, why can't it be like a double tandem type of workshop thing? It's like, we're gonna talk about that offline.
Is that it?
Oh yeah. I mean, we have our regular shows every month, you know, second Saturday and fourth Saturday. Our special occasion show is this month on the 22nd, Upscale Expressions. Everybody come out in your tuxedos and evening gowns. But other than that, I mean, well, you can go to the website and find out, you know, on the Instagram.
You can see how excited she is.
Yes, because this is like, you would think, you know, I don't get sad or when I'm laughing all the time. It's just like, when I'm not doing poetry, when I'm not being able to host events and things like that, I'm just like, oh, Lord, you know, oh, my God. So I'm very, very happy that we have so much going on. It's good to be booked and busy.
On my side, right now is just finishing these projects. You know, I have four full-fledged EP albums. I'm trying to get to the shelves and whatnot. You know, we're trying to launch the new fall apparel. You know, I'm working on new designs now, working with different garments. I like to say the word garments.
Garments. Yeah, that's that must be thing. A New York thing, a garment. Garments.
And then, like, right now, we're in this the broadcast room. But, you know, within a couple of weeks, you know, we're going to try to incorporate this as the radio broadcast room. We're trying to really put this Art Out Loud radio station thing together, you know.
Like tomorrow we're interviewing JB Edify. He's like a freestyle vocalist that comes to our show. So it's just like last week we interviewed Queen Sheba and she talked about poetry versus hip hop. So we want to, you know, bring in people that have stuff going on and might want another platform to advertise either their talent or their event. And we call it the industry influencer interview. Yeah. So that's going to be like a broadcast room type of thing. And when we put it on Facebook Live, at least like 200, 300 people start watching. Yeah. I like, you know, share it to every Facebook group I'm a part of. I'm the marketing person. Yeah. So I'm just like, if I can provide an online platform, why not do that too?
Yeah. But, you know, my, you know, to build off of that, it's just like, I have a lot of indie artist music, you know, I can see the difference between the radio stations now that plays what's hot and then having a full-fledged indie radio station playing their stuff, you know. Good, I would say I prefer clean, you know, but I'm sure we can censor a lot of things and see what we can get through. And just giving that type of light on to something. I don't, while we're here, I haven't heard only time you hear indie stuff is usually on a college station. Mm-hmm. No, so we're here at Clark Atlanta, and you can't even find them on the dial. You know, that's one thing.
Maybe on AM.
Yeah, something like that. And I was just like, you know what? We know too many people. I have so much of their music because they've done the show, a lot of collaborations. We can put where something's in rotation 24 hours a day for them. We have, you know, we can find the sponsors that come in that want to do, you know, what they call those, that when they advertise on commercials.
Right.
Commercials. We can record the commercial here for them, you know, and put it out there like that. We can connect with the schools. Shout out to our intern. Got to say shout out to our intern, DeMar Gooden.
Goodman.
He's now president of the what board is that?
Student
Government Association of Atlanta. He is now the president of that whole organization. So I say that to say this: he can come in. You know, we can have a show where he can come in and he can discuss a lot of the things that the students are very concerned about.
Yeah.
No. There's I don't see this anyways. I just, and then if I do see this, it comes in and it fades away quick because it's not building momentum. But we know that if it's on Art Out Loud and something that, you know, I'm pushing every time I'm out there, every event, every time I'm on the turntables, every music thing that I'm pushing, how, hey, if you like what you hear, this is a show. Also tune into the radio, you know, just connected like that. We know we're going to, you know, create a trend or we know that people's going to kind of follow and see exactly, at least listen to what we have to say. And then once they come in and they see the variety of shows that we have, it's fine. I'm ready to do that. I'm already starting buying equipment for it.
You know, more what I mean? Equipment. Oh no.
Yeah, so I prayed about it. I prayed about it, you know, and the Magnificent told me, Al, this is how you're supposed to do it. Study your business first. Study your business first. Understand what the FCC regulations are. I need for you to get right, because when you get in front of the right people, you have to use their type of terminology in order for you to sell what you're trying to do. And then the fact that I'm purchasing or we're purchasing these things, we cut out the middleman and therefore we're able to do what we need to do. Like I told DeMar, I said, you know, anytime you want to have a show, you know, you don't have to, you can just, can I have Saturday night? We can set the cameras up, put the mics on. You can have any background that you want. If the light's flickering, we can do that. But long as you have good content. Don't just get on here just to be, you know, I want them to get cheap. We talked about this every time we get on. you get something out of the performance. You get something out of the interview. You get a jewel or something to take with you, or you think about, and you process. So yeah. I told him, yeah, that's what I want to do. I don't want to. This is a lot of quote unquote. Everybody's now just uploading music, and it's cool that the fact that it's, you can do that, but that's also allowing a lot of trash to come out there, a lot of uncensored stuff that, wow, how would you even get on?
Yeah.
So it's more like, yeah, that's the big guy that I'm working with. That's what I'm trying to do towards the end of this year, is to have a full-fledged radio station where, you know, I can have different DJs come up there and they can spin whatever they want to spin, because just that, you know, because I've already got the production side. We got the mentorship side. We got the workshop side. But that's the only thing that's missing for me. Got the apparel side. So
I love it. I love it, man. I know for sure anybody watching or listening to this is getting a lot of value, especially the message of family business, you know. And so I truly appreciate you all coming on, being connected to you all, and in so many aspects, whether it's, you know, Lady V is our PR for the podcast, and we'll be booking Lady V again. Yeah, for sure. So when you all see this, you know, episode go out and the promotion of the podcast, that's all Lady V right there. All right. So listen, we can find you all at Art Out Loud ATL and CEO Alan Poe. What's your IG too?
Alan Poe, AllenPough.
Gotcha. No. Beautiful. DJ Altor, everything all right? I know it's late.
He's like, if you ain't got Coco Melon, I ain't watching.
I love it.
DJ Voltaire appreciates the exposure as well.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. You know, we got to work with the family. So I appreciate y'all. Y'all have an awesome night. Listen, everybody listening and watching, if you need more information about the podcast, go to poetlifepodcast.com. If you want to join our community, go to poetrybusinessnetwork.com. We're teaching poets how to create a career with their poetry. And as you can see, we're connected to some awesome people. All right, family, I appreciate y'all. Y'all have an awesome night, awesome episode. I appreciate y'all. We out of here.
Hey.
Bye.
Hey, man, that was perfect, y'all. That was.